Clayton would be brought back to the Fen Country for burial. Services would be held at 2 o'clock Friday next, in the Church of St. Mary's, Burwell, only a few miles away. He intended to be there. He'd tried hard to put the war behind him, avoiding weddings and funerals alike, refusing even to deliver the eulogy for men he'd known well. It would bring back too many memories, and he wanted them to stay buried along with the dead left behind in the torn earth of Flanders fields. Unable to explain, he'd simply cited ill health as his reason for declining. Burying himself here, he had shut out as much of the rest of the world as he could. He'd even stopped reading obituaries. They were too sharp a reminder of the fact that he had survived when so many had not. But the dying had not stopped with the armistice. The service for Major Clayton was different. Clayton had saved his life, and in doing so, nearly lost his own. The leg had never healed correctly, and in the end, it had become the source of the gangrene that overtook first his foot, then his knee, his leg, and finally his body. Dying by inches, he'd called it. For Major Clayton, he would have to make an exception. He hadn't been asked by Clayton's sister to deliver the eulogy, even though he knew the man better than anyone living, and he was just as glad. Instead, the sister had invited a colonel from London to do that honour. He wondered what Clayton would have made of that, given his feelings for HQ and the generals who'd given orders they themselves would never have to carry out. Decisions that sent men to their deaths, maimed them, made them numbers on interminable lists, names and ranks and dates, but never the faces, or shortened lives that should have reminded the generals that they were dealing in flesh and blood. Of course, St. Mary's would be full for the service. He reminded himself that he would have to stay well back, where he wouldn't be noticed. Only for Clayton, he thought on the Friday, as he shaved and then dressed himself with more than usual care. The Major had been a stickler for appearances. He'd said often enough that if a man respected his uniform, he would respect himself. It would not do to be less than parade perfect, even in civilian clothes. At 1:30, he set out for Burwell, planning his journey to arrive shortly before the mourners went inside to take their places. He had no desire to greet anyone, exchange pleasantries or memories, or to offer condolences to the sister. He barely knew her, and his brief words of sympathy would not lessen her grief. As it was, by the time he reached Burwell and walked on to St. Mary's by a roundabout way, ending up on the street just above it, the hearse had arrived, and only a handful of people were still standing by the west door. He slowed his pace, waiting until everyone else had gone inside ahead of him, and listened to the heavy bell above his head toll the brief years of Clayton's life. 35. It was a hell of a thing to die at 35 with so much to live for, leg or no leg. He glanced up at the bell and then back at the church doorway. And there, to his utter astonishment, he saw a face he had never wanted to see again, much less find one day here in this isolated corner of Cambridgeshire. He brushed a hand across his eyes, certain that in the bright sunlight he'd been mistaken, that in his distress over the Major's death, other memories had forced themselves to the forefront of his mind. It would be too cruel. But no. There he was, bold as brass, smiling and chatting with one of the men in uniform next to him. There could be no mistake. Captain Hutchinson. What the hell was he doing here? He hadn't known Clayton, had he? Why was he among the mourners? Quickly stepping back into the shadows cast by a large tree overhanging the street, he tried to think. Hutchinson must have travelled up from London with the colonel. That would explain his being here. Hutchinson was always quick to see an advantage. Or had he somehow discovered that Clayton's sister was inheriting everything and fixed his eye on her? There was a well-set-up estate in Gloucestershire, and the older property here in Burwell, presently occupied by a tenant. Both would bring in a tidy income. It would be like Hutchinson to curry favour before the will had been read to prove he was no fortune hunter. But he was.